This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published by the Masonic Service Association of North America every month since 1923. This, the Short Talk Bulletin podcast, is produced in cooperation with the MSA and is made possible with the generous support of a grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota. Volume 62, Number 5, from May of 1984. Five Masonic Thoughts by Right Worshipful Brother William A. Carpenter, past Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania. 1. Our Basic Function. The basic function of a Masonic Lodge is to make Master Masons. This does not mean the formality of raising candidates. It extends far beyond that period in the life of a Mason. The task of making Master Masons must be directed toward all of us, those who are Master Masons and those who are in the process of becoming Master Masons. The fruits of our efforts to teach and to learn about Freemasonry, the interest that we show the candidates as we welcome them into the new world of Freemasonry, will be evident in the years to come. If we sow well, we are bound to reap well. 2. Being well and duly prepared. Being well and duly prepared is a Masonic expression. Masons understand its significance in the lodge rooms. However, they may also interpret it outside the lodge. No Mason enters even the ground floor of the lodge unless he is well and duly prepared. So simple is his dress that it provokes no envy. He is dressed properly for the occasion, and everyone so dressed feels perfectly at ease among his brethren. No place here for the rich to boast of fine raiment and resplendent jewels, nor for the poor to envy his more fortunate brother or covet his wealth. Their clothing in each case symbolizes labor and innocence. With hand and brain, each is ready to serve his fellow man. With forbearance and toleration, each is willing to forgive the crude and ignorant everywhere. To carry the symbolism of Masonic investiture still further, every Mason should be clothed in the habiliments of truth. His wardrobe should contain the robe of justice, with which to protect those who, for any reason, have been deprived of their just rights. The mantle of charity, with which to comfort those made destitute, many times by no cause of their own. The tunic of toleration, with which to hide the weakness of the wayward, and to help them to the road of recovery. The cloak of mercy, with which to cover the wounded and suffering in mind or body with unstinted sympathy and kindness. These garments are all of genius quality, measured and cut by a master tailor. They're serviceable and in good taste on every occasion. They too may be had without money and without price, and the man who wears them is truly properly clothed and well and duly prepared as a Master Mason. 3. Freemasonry is many things. Freemasonry is a story of life, with all its joys, its heartaches, its failures, and its final triumph over all earthly things. Anyone can read it in countless books. Its teachings, its symbols, and its ambitions are open for general observation. They're practiced in the light and held up for all the world to see. Freemasonry is not practiced in the dark. Neither are its teachings the dogma of some forbidden cult. We, as Freemasons, are required to reflect the light, to practice its teachings and love by their direction. No greater thing can be said of Freemasonry than that it is an ideal way of life. No other fraternity offers such profound lessons in its ritual or work as does Freemasonry. Each word and each act in the ceremonies of the lodge carries a true lesson to each of us, if we will but open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and hearts to accept. We can study Freemasonry for years as we attend its meetings, and each time we stop to think on the things said and done, we get a new meaning and inspiration from them. There is a never-ending source of pleasure in the various shades of meaning that can be read into each line of our work. Each new meaning and interpretation that we put into some word or act will make that passage live for us, and we will begin to see Freemasonry for what it is intended. Great men have devoted many years of study and meditation to the cause of Freemasonry, and when their work is finished, they realize that they have only begun to see the light, and that they have only started to uncover the true meanings of the work. Freemasonry has been talked of and written about by countless men in every country of the world. Its members have been persecuted in all lands at one time or the other, but it still grows and flourishes as no other fraternity on earth today. There must be something good and great in Freemasonry for it to stand through the years as a beacon of light to its members and as a symbol of the true way of life for all to see and follow. Its greatness is not due to its secret teachings, its mysteries, or fanfare of its deeds, but rather to the profound lessons taught to its members, and to the comfort, inspiration, and enlightenment brought to all who will but study it. Freemasonry frowns on advertising its good deeds, preferring to let those who benefit from them reflect its goodness, that others might have hope and desire the better things of life. Freemasonry offers comfort to those who sorrow, hope for those who despair, wise counsel for those who err, and the joys and contentment of life to all. 4. Seek and ye shall find. The making of a Freemason consists in a continued course of education and of character forming. While it may be accepted that it is an innermost desire, followed by obligations that makes one a member of the craft, yet, in a truer form and better sense, a man is never a Freemason until he truthfully and loyally lives up to his obligations. And he cannot do that until he understands them, and eventually knows their scope and real meaning. Freemasonry can very well be divided into many phases. Its landmarks, its customs, its constitution and its laws, just to mention a few, if studied and mastered, can provide a most interesting course for the Master Mason seeking Masonic knowledge. Its historical background can provide an interesting program of investigation to the member attracted to a desire for research. One peculiarity about Freemasonry is that it will stand investigation. The deeper the research, the more extensive the knowledge of its hidden art and mysteries, the more highly it is appreciated. A member of the craft who merely takes his degrees in a listless, careless sort of manner, and then remains as just a spectator at lodge meetings, may hold to the opinion that Freemasonry differs little from other societies. To the contrary, the Master Mason who delves deeply into Masonic literature takes a lively interest in every part of the ritualistic and lodge work, and learns the origin, meaning, and moral bearing of its symbols, cannot possibly fall into such an error. To him, Freemasonry has a refining and elevating influence not to be found in the ordinary run of organizations. The philosophies of Freemasonry, when discovered and then accepted and practiced, provide that simple but profound solution to the problems of human relationships. May it be accepted that Freemasonry is a way of living to the Master Mason who is interested enough to appraise and value the wealth that is his and his alone by virtue of his Masonic membership. The best informed Master Mason is the Master Mason who reads and studies. Consequently, if we want Freemasonry to be of practical usefulness and cultural attainment, we, as Freemasons, must not neglect our Masonic reading, our Masonic studying, and our research for more Masonic light. 5. Needed, a knowledge of Freemasonry. At no time in Masonic history has there been a greater need for understanding of what Freemasonry is and what it stands for than there is today. Much has been left undone in the education of members of our lodges. The first essential in Masonic education is that desire to become interested and enthused in Freemasonry, followed by a thirst for knowledge as to what Freemasonry is all about. Here is where the instructors can serve well and can influence the candidate in a continuous search for more Masonic light. The qualifications for instructing are less exciting than may be imagined. What is essential is a basic knowledge of Freemasonry by the instructor. In this day and age, with so many counter-attractions, it becomes more evident that greater efforts must be put forth to instruct our new members in the ideals and fundamentals of Freemasonry. Every lodge should have a definite program along authentic Masonic educational lines. We must understand what Freemasonry really is before we can practice Freemasonry in our lives. We must remember that Freemasonry is judged by the actions of its individual members. We must set an example to those outside the craft at all times. The need for Masonic knowledge is often evidenced in our lodges. This can be alleviated where dedicated members qualify as instructors and then serve in teaching the principles and fundamentals of Freemasonry to all who will listen. What is Masonry? By Brother Walter H. Bonn, Victor, Iowa. It's not a sign or handshake, a hall where tilers sit. It's not a guarded building where passwords will admit. It's not a place of symbols, which wardens oft display. It's not a lodge of members who meet in white array. It is the home of justice, of liberty and truth, of loyalty to country, of sympathy for youth, of succor for a brother, of gentleness and cheer, of tolerance for neighbors whose life is often drear. It is the home of brothers who strive to worship God, whose father eye is guarding their footsteps in the sod, who know that life immortal awaits the yearning soul, that perfect peace enraptures when faith reveals the goal. It is an April sunrise, a vision of the sky. It is a garden perfume, aroma from on high. It is the light of ages within time's darkened walls. It is the glowing heartbeat of men who love its halls.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, produced in cooperation with the Masonic Service Association of North America, for the purpose of providing a common stock of vetted Masonic information to all of the constituent lodges of all of the member jurisdictions, and is made possible through a generous grant from the Grand Lodge AFNAM of Minnesota, who have been engaging and inspiring good men who believe in a supreme being to live according to the Masonic tenets of brotherly love, relief, and truth since 1853.